This morning, as we spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to once again keep your worship bulletins handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. There you'll also find some take-home reflections that hopefully connect with the Word that God will ultimately provide for us today that He wants us to take out with us this morning. So not long ago, and maybe you caught wind of this, there was quite the controversy surrounding this statue. And maybe you've seen this before. It's the statue of David, sculpted and carved by artist Michelangelo. Some time ago overseas, the controversy was just this. An advertiser thought it would be more beneficial and maybe more contemporary to graphically remove the sling that is over David's shoulder, his left shoulder, right-hand side, to replace that traditional sling that he used to take down the big guy, Goliath himself, and to replace it with something more modern and contemporary. And you know what that was? It was an assault rifle. Now you can about imagine the stir that kicked up, not only with the art community, but with those who really love to see God's Word expressed faithfully and truthfully in its various forms. In a big way, it kind of tugged and it begged out the question of, are we on the same page here or not? I mean, this is what we see in God's Word. David, shepherd boy, turned king, took down the big guy, Goliath, not with a javelin, not with a chariot, not with a horse and a sword, not with an assault rifle, but with a sling and stones, and most importantly, with the power and might of our God. Well, once again, the question could be asked. Knowing that and knowing what we see in the advertisement with David and the assault rifle, are we on the same page here or not? I suppose the same could be said with our gospel lesson from this morning, from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, particularly in the exchange between Jesus and his disciples. And maybe just maybe us today, if you track along with me. So Mark shares this with us in his gospel account, chapter 1, verse 35 to 33. Let me share this portion of our gospel reading with you once again this morning. Check this out. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Prior to this, and we've been walking through this part of Mark's gospel the last several weeks with our Epiphany sermon series, Let There Be Light, as God reveals the work of God for us in Jesus Christ. And what we've seen is Jesus is in high demand, not with those who are sick alone, but with those who are oppressed and struggling with any number of life issues and seasons of life, some of which maybe aren't too unfamiliar to us today. And as such, Jesus is in high demand. And what we see in this passage is just this question. And I wanted to ask you this morning, and I wonder if you heard in this text what I heard as well. This question of how do Peter's expectation of Jesus' mission line up with Jesus' mission? So in other words, are Peter and Jesus on the same page about what Jesus should be doing? Or are they thinking two different things? Maybe to put it this way, Simon Peter and the rest of the guys go up to Jesus and then they put it this way, paraphrase, "Jesus, we need you to go that way. There's a whole lot of people and you know how they are. They're needy. They got lots of stuff to talk about. They don't want to talk to us. You know who they want to talk to? Yeah, it's you. So here's what we need you to do. And I know you stole yourself away to a quiet place, and I know you're praying, we get that. But Jesus, we really need you to go that way. So come on, let's go. And Jesus' response is, it's just this. I need to go that way. Not just to the big metropolis places like Fort Wayne, Indiana. I also need to go to the countryside where people haven't heard about the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God for them in me, Jesus, as a free gift. I need to go to those who are being persecuted, those who have heard other religious leaders just paraphrase and quote others. I need to go to people who need to hear God's word, and they need to hear it from someone who has the authority to do exactly what God's word says it will do. We need to go that way. Are we on the same page here? It'd be nice to think that maybe, just maybe, that was the only time that this happened, where the disciples wanted Jesus to go this way and do what they wanted, but Jesus was going this way. Mark shares this with us a little bit later in chapter 8, verse 31 to 33, where Jesus starts to unpack for them the direction that he's going and the path he's walking and the work he is actually about. This is what he shares with the disciples. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter, check this out, all right, now here's my question to you. Are Peter and Jesus on the same page or not about what Jesus' mission is and what it should be? He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So once again, my question to you is just this. Think about this for a minute. Are Peter and Jesus on the same page about the mission that Jesus has? Or is Peter, who's typically the voice of the disciples, the rest of the crew, do they expect Jesus to do something else? Are they on the same page or not? How about this? Why don't you give me a thumbs up? Just let me know what you're tracking with. Give me a thumbs up if Jesus and Peter are on the same page. Give me a thumbs down if you think they're not quite there yet. Yeah, that's what I took from it as well. Behind Peter's response, and to be honest, it's hard to really fault him in some ways, because Peter has a lot of expectations of this Jesus. He knows that Jesus is the one to follow, but there are certain things that Peter and the rest of the disciples want of Jesus and want him to do that maybe don't line up with the work that God is calling Jesus to do. For example, "Jesus, we need you to go that way. It's a military victory. We need you to ride in here on a big horse and knock out the Romans. We need you to get them out of town. We need you to sit on the throne, and we need you to restore Israel to this national powerhouse like we've read about years and years ago through King David." Yeah, David, not with the assault rifle, with the sling, that guy. "We need you to ride in town and to be our political savior. That's who we want you to be. So, Jesus, we need you to just, you know, maybe kind of hit the timeout button on what you're doing. And we need you to go this way." I thought about this for my own life this week, and I wanted to ask you this morning as well. How do your expectations of Jesus and his mission line up with the work that God has for Jesus Christ? Or maybe to reframe it a little bit differently this morning, are you and Jesus on the same page? Wouldn't life be really simple if that just applied to one area? I mean, think about that. If that question only applied to one area of our life, well, then we could really compartmentalize it. We could put it over here. We could examine it, explore it, and then when we're done with it, put it on a shelf and go back to other things. But Jesus doesn't operate that way, does he? Jesus, in his love for us, desires to be Lord of every part of our life. So sometimes, maybe just sometimes, what that looks like is just this. What Jesus is calling us to go this way, but maybe we're tugging on Jesus to go with us this way. Maybe Jesus is asking us to follow him over here in terms of what it means to share our faith, maybe in a tough workplace situation or school or neighborhood, or maybe in our own home. And Jesus is saying, "Come on, let's go this way. It's going to be great. I'm going to show them what I can do." But we're saying, "Yeah, that's great, Jesus, but we really need you to go this way." Maybe that has to do with our finances. Maybe that has to do with our expectations of what God should be doing, or maybe when he should be doing it. Maybe that looks like areas of forgiveness, or maybe just maybe that looks like the work that God is calling Praise Lutheran Church to do, so that we don't fall into the quicksand of becoming a country club, but rather a group of Christians that go out and live our life and our faith in tangible ways, so that when people see us, they don't see our strength, they see the strength of our God, with whom all things are possible. So my question to you this morning and to all of us here today is just this: are you and Jesus, are you on the same page? Or is he going a direction that maybe you're not wanting him to go? So we think back to what Peter, echoed and voiced on behalf of the disciples, and truth be told, the whole nation, for what they thought Jesus should be doing and the direction Jesus should be going. We hear Jesus respond in this way: I must go this way, to the cross. Not to political victory, not to a throne, not to a golden crown, but to a crown of thorns. Not to a seat of luxury and posh living, but to a seat of sacrifice for you. To cover a debt you could never repay. To give you something more, something you couldn't earn yourself, something you couldn't purchase, something you couldn't buy, something you couldn't work for yourself. I must go here to the cross, and I must go here to the empty tomb. And when I do that, then we can go here together, this place called victory over death, over Satan, and over sin, so that nothing holds God's people back because of Jesus Christ. Mark lets us in on the tail end of that conversation between Jesus and Peter. And this is what he responds to Peter with, and to you and to me today. Verse 34, Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." In your life, which way is Jesus walking? Which way are you walking? Are you going the direction that Jesus is leading? Or are you asking Jesus to follow your leadership? Where is Jesus calling you to be on his page today? Let's pray. Father, we'd love to admit this morning that we always get it right, and that when you say follow, we are quick to move. But Father, if we're really honest with ourselves this morning and with each other, and most importantly with you, we'd have to admit that so oftentimes where you go, we don't follow. And while we clearly know what your mission is, especially as you show it to us through your word and the Holy Spirit, sometimes we ask you to join us on our mission. Sometimes we ask you to go where you're not going. Father, we ask that you'd forgive us for those times. We pray that you would forgive us for the times when we've hurt our relationship with you, but also with others. Today, we ask that you would lead us. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us, and we ask, Lord, that you would shape us to be the people of hope you want us to be. So when people see us, they don't see people wandering around, but they see people walking with a Savior. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we continue.